I was sitting on my feet, and as I was listening to everything, and I was thinking about all the victory that everybody was talking about, and the Lord sent me here with a message about what it's going to take for people to have this kind of a testimony, this kind of a victory. And I've got to put a little diagram here on the board. I didn't want to put it on while Sister Husky was talking because I didn't want to disrupt from her testimony. So you might sing just a verse of song while I write this on the board. So you can see by the diagram, this is all that we humans have to worry about. This is it. There's nothing else for us to worry about. We are the church of the living God. We're in the world. And then there's paradise, waiting place for those that have gone on that are going to go to heaven. There's the waiting place for those that are in hell right now, waiting for the final judgment, the lake of fire. That's all we have to think about. This is the only thing that matters. In John, the 18th chapter, the 36th verse, says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Pray for me. I'm a little nervous. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 6th chapter, the 12th verse. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now my text, 1 John. See, there's only two places. There's only two in the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of the enemy. And so when Jesus said, "My kingdom isn't of this world. It's not here." And it says that we're going to wrestle against principalities and powers and things that are in the enemy's kingdom that we can't always see. And as these two kingdoms fight for our souls, both of these kingdoms are fighting for our souls. We're the spoils. Do you understand? We're the spoils of a great war. Both sides are after us. God is after us out of love, concern, compassion. He wants to give us a good ending when we leave this world. The enemy is after us to destroy and kill and make as miserable as possible, and then be stuck with him for the rest of our lives in eternity with him. The one that treated us so bad here, he wants to be there with us for eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. So in 1 John, this is my text. 1 John, the 2nd chapter. Starting at the 15th verse. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is Scripture. It said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, everything that's in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world. In James 4:4 it says, don't even be a friend to the world. Are we talking about people? I just want to make it clear. Are we talking about people here? No, the world isn't people. No. It's principalities. It's powers. It's mindsets. It's everything that crowds in on us to try to take away everything we receive from God. The world is a series of diversions. You know how you win a battle, right? How do you win a battle? You don't go head on and announce, I'm coming. And I say, I'm coming. I'm going to meet you on this hill. And then give them all opportunity to prepare, be ready to meet on that hill. No, you want a sneak attack. So you cause a diversion. And so you have something happen over here to where everybody turns their eyes and looks over here so that they can be attacked from the other side and, so to speak, lose the battle before it's even begun. That's what the world is. A series of diversions. The enemy, when he first talked with Eve, started out with a diversion. He started out with that. She said, oh, we're not supposed to eat of this tree. And he says, oh, he says, God just knows that when you do, you're going to be like him. That's all. A diversion. He didn't say, don't, you shouldn't obey God. He didn't say, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he tried to make God look as if he was hiding something from her. Hiding something. When really, it's the enemy of our souls that is the master at hiding things from us. The real truth of things. We have these attitudes and mindsets of the world. Nobody thought, excuse my voice, pray for my voice. Nobody thought when the first things that were said about, if women are doing the same job, they should have the same pay. Nobody thought that was very bad, did they? The men had gone off to war. The women had to put on pants to work in the factories. That wasn't such a bad thing, was it? The mindsets of the world, see? It makes sense. It's logical. It's the world's mindset. It's not God's mindset. So, but nobody thought that equal pay for equal work would turn into a woman's movement. That ended up where? Ended up in abortion. My body, my say. Who thought it was going there? Who thought when they first thought, that just sounds right. There's this mother, she doesn't have a husband, and maybe her husband was killed in the war. She's doing the same job as that man next to her, and she deserves the same pay. She's raising the family now. Sounds logical. It's a diversion. There's a plan behind it. The enemy is very, very subtle, and he's also very, very patient for it to work out to its end. So the decisions that the people in the world made back then have impacted us different. I was reading in a book the other day the statistics of religion and how that something like, I don't know, a certain percentage anyway, a rather high percentage of people that are getting divorces claim to be Christian. They claim to be Christian. How'd it get there? That mindset that we have accepted that it's just logical. It's just the way it is. It's the way the world operates. Yes, it is. It's the way the world operates, but not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is separate from the world. But the problem is too many are trying to live in the world and be a part of God's kingdom at the same time, and they have no victory. There's no victory in that. These ones that have gotten up and testified, the ones that have had victory, the ones that have the testimonies that you've heard, they have given up the world. They've passed that. It no longer charms them. But where are you? Where are you? Nobody realized that. You remember how it used to be, that if a woman was expecting out of wedlock, it was a shame. It was a shame. People hid it. Now it's blatant. So those first, that first ones that took the lie, well, it's not the child's fault, which it's not. But the first one that not only took that, but then took the lie that they shouldn't be punished because we should go ahead and celebrate because, you know what I'm talking about? It used to be a shame. How did it get so openly celebrated? There have been several showers I haven't been able to go to because it's not a celebration. Does it mean that I wouldn't give something for that new child? No. I give something for the child. But it's not a celebration. It's not a party. It's shameful. When we first came up with the idea that people should get help from the government, it was a good thing. Safety net. I fall in hard times and the government's going to help me. How did it get to the more children I have, the more money I get? How'd it get there? And they have to be out of wedlock because they don't get it with wedlock. How'd we get there? The mindset of the world encroaching on us. And if we're not careful, we'll start feeling the same way. We'll allow things. Take part in things. Used to be it was a shame for divorce. Not only was it a shame to get one, but nobody wanted you if you had been divorced. You were looked on as an outcast in society. How did it get to the place to where I've been married so many times and not, this one's been married so many times and now we're going to go ahead and get married too? Again, fourth or fifth time. How to get there? The mindset of the world. And if we're not careful, it'll try to encroach upon us. We hold a standard of what it means to be married for life. To put up with things. Who knew the women's movement was going to come along and say, you don't have to put up with anything. You don't have to put up with what they say. You don't have to obey them. That's old. Take it out of the marriage vows. And they have. They have. The mindset of the world. If we're not careful, we let it encroach upon us. All right. What is the world? What is the world? And the things in the world. It says, love not the world or the things in the world. The things. What are the things in the world? All right. How about Hollywood? Is that of the world? That means television, movies, CDs, all the things that Hollywood propagates and turns out. They crank them out. What are they doing when they do that? They're making merchandise of you. They don't make any money unless you buy. Unless you look, they make no money. So they're making merchandise of you. Now, the way to make merchandise of us is to give us what we want. All right. Now, I've heard people say, there's a few good movies. That's what they say. Okay? Innocent stories. Things of that nature. Things I've heard of. I don't know that I've ever watched. But this is what I heard, that out of some of the classic books, they've made movies. Where the Red Fern Grows, about boy and his dogs. Sounds innocent, doesn't it? Sounds innocent. Well, why isn't everything that innocent? Because they couldn't sell it. Because the world buys its own stuff. The majority of the world is sinners. They're marketing for money. So who are they going to market to? The largest group. The largest group they can get to. That's who they're marketing to. So they're marketing to sinners and what they want to see and how they want to feel and what they want. That's who they're marketing to. It's a diversion. It's a diversion. But how many people have not gotten saved because of Hollywood? I just don't know if I can give some of that up. I just don't know if I can. So now you tell me, is it good for you? If it hinges on your salvation, is that good? What about sports? Who are they marketing to? The sinners in the world. The sinners in the world. But how many people have not gotten saved because I'm so tied up in the sports? Can't leave it alone. Sports. There's a sport for everything. Whatever you're interested in, you know, they started out small. It started out small. Just a ball game here and a ball game there. But now, when I was a little girl, there used to be a program, and I was raised in a sinful family. We had television. And there was a program, it was called The Wide World of Sports. And it showed all the different sports around the world that people did. They couldn't even keep, one program couldn't even cover all that now. Because there's a sport for everything. You like skateboarding? There's a sport. Anything you like to do. You like racing? There's a sport. Oh, I'm not interested in that. Well, what are you interested in? We'll find something to help you. We'll keep you diverted somehow. Whatever it is that we need to do to keep you tied up right where you are, diverted from the real battle that's going on for your soul, Whatever we can do to feed you and make you feel good and just take up your time and take up your all your spare time. It's there for you. It's there for you. All right? What about, you see that I? Okay. Give me some things that start with I in our world today. Okay, the internet. How about iPod? What else? What? iPhone. What about iTunes? iPad. You notice they all start with I? Because you know what they're for? They're to separate you from every other human being. It's to keep you entertained by yourself. And you all know what I'm talking about, because when you go to family gatherings and you try to talk to anybody, what are they doing? What are they doing? They've got it in their hands and their thumbs are working. No matter which one, which device it is. Or they got their ears plugged, so you can't even carry on a conversation with them. Some of them put it just in one ear so they can try to hear you. And at Thanksgiving, when my family comes, I made it a rule, because we like to play family games around a table. Good, clean things. And they want to bring all that with them. And I made a rule, oh no. No, if you're going to play games with grandma, you got to put all that stuff in the other room. Because the whole idea is to have interaction. The whole idea is to have family time. But instead, these things, this high tech, has separated us. I've been in a house where in every room in the house had a television. And in the evening, that family of four splits up and everybody goes off into their own place to watch what they want to watch. And they have no family time at all. We know these things are sinful. Do we? Do we? See, I think sometimes people feel like, well, it's not really sinful. It's not really... I couldn't just label it as sin. And that's what happens. Because we can't label something, we have a tendency to just let it slide. But you know, all those things, they're a diversion so that the enemy can keep you in a place where you are not worried or concerned about your soul. When you get done doing any of this, are you ready to praise God and kneel in prayer? You're not. You're not. Hollywood, back to those innocent movies. They say, well, you know, it's just a nice little story. It's just a little love story. And yet the people that are acting that out on the screen are married to someone else, and they're touching and kissing and all for your enjoyment. They're doing adulterous things for your enjoyment. One time a minister and I were talking, and they were talking about, they said they just didn't know what to do about the young people. You know, how do we get them to be able to come in and be saved and you know, really get a hold of it? And how do we get them to do that? And I told her, I said, you know, I said, I don't know. I said, we can't even get them to give up the world. It makes them an enemy of God. And we can't get them to give up the world. It makes you an enemy of God if you are friends to the world and all the things that are in the world. If you're friends. Friends. I knew a woman one time that gave up crocheting. You couldn't say crocheting is a sin, could you? Unless it took up all your time, all your efforts, all your spare money, everything, to where she finally got to the place to where she realized, I can't do this anymore. She had to give it up. What are you doing that you just can't give up? The world. All right, what about the world of music? You know, all of these are called the entertainment world, the world of sports, the sports world, the music world. I didn't come up with those names. That's what the world calls themselves. Okay, so what about the music world? Oh, you know, they suck you in. Suck you in with those real light songs. And get you in there. And then they start throwing in a little bad language. And you go, well, you know, I just won't listen to that part. Otherwise, other than that little bit right there, it's a pretty good song. Pretty good song. Music. It is made to divert you. I'm feeling down. Feeling heavy. I'm feeling not so happy with my life. Turn on my music. I'll feel better. Won't take me very long. I'll feel better. I'll come out on top. I'll do better. Or turn on my favorite movie. I've watched it. I don't know how many times. It's my favorite one. I'll just turn it back on. Lose myself. Don't you realize when you lose yourself, you open yourself up to the spirits that are in all those things. You indulge in those things. You open up yourself to the spirit of it. Why do you think it's so hard to walk away? Because there's spirits behind it. You don't think the devil just invented it. Now I know some people say God invented this and God invented that and he helped man to invent this or that. But the Bible says men just sought out many devices. He did it. And most of the men that invented things are sinners. So they invented things that appealed to them. Anything that the world goes after, madly after, we need to check it. We need to say, whoa, all the sinners are after this. What am I missing? What am I missing? I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. I'm saved, I'm living to what God wants me to do. Why is it that they're all running after it and I am too? Music, lift your spirits. Lift your spirits. And open you up to spirits. You know all those songs that talk about divorce, love, romance. Opening you up to something. All those songs that talk about beating up your wife. There's songs like that out there. You don't think that any of those songs have gotten a hold of people? You don't think that anybody listening to those songs, they've never reacted to anything on those songs. Never reacted to anything in the movies. Nothing ever got a hold of them. Nothing ever changed them. This is the world that the Lord told us. Love not the world or the things in the world. If you do, the love of the Father isn't in you. He can't survive in you. He can start in you. And if you will follow Him, if He leads you along and lay aside the world, we find out as we go along, we lay more and more of the world aside. That's how we grow. That's how we get these testimonies. But if we won't follow the Lord, if we won't lay these things aside, listen, we're troubled about things a long time before we ever give them up. We're troubled about them. But see, that spirit behind it keeps talking to you and saying, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a little music. It's just a little time I spend watching. Just a little time. That's all. The TV was invented for entertainment. It's an entertainment. It's still entertainment. But even society and educated people came to the realization that it isn't good for our children to be sitting in front of this television. So men invented the internet. Now we've got a tool plus entertainment. So I teach the little children from the time they're little in kindergarten how to use this tool. Great tool. Get into encyclopedias, don't have to go to the library. I can make reports, I can get pictures to go with my reports, and all. I can do all of this fancy work on the computer for school. Teach them from a young age. And then they get to be teenagers and they start finding, well, even before teenagers now, they start finding other places on the internet. See, it's a tool. And pretty soon, you can see the way the world's going. We're just about going to have it no matter what. Because pretty soon, all these banks we have, they're going to be closed. They're going to do everything the easy way. And we're going to be forced, if you don't have one now, you're going to be forced to just do everyday business, to just pay your bills. Because they've already started it, right? They've already voluntarily, you can pay your bills on the internet. They get enough people switched over, it's going to require everybody to do it that way. And what's the idea behind it? To get you to spend time on there. Because just maybe somebody will say, you ought to look at so-and-so. Go to so-and-so's site one of these days. Look at this, look at that. The world. What about our social media? Facebook. All those places. You know what they're made for? Do you know that some of our children can't even hardly compose a letter? They don't even have, you know, they don't even have penmanship in school anymore. Why? Because they're moving on to the machine. They moved on to the calculator years ago. Some of my children would come home from school and not know how to do anything except on a calculator. Social media. Places where you can bare your soul and supposedly nobody knows. And yet the whole world knows. How much of a trick is that? Gets you to put pictures out there. Do you know that there are people now losing their jobs over pictures on social media? There are people that call in sick and then put their day in the snow on the Facebook and lost their job because they called in sick that day. There are places that want your Facebook account number to get into your Facebook before they hire you. Social media, a place where I can say things I wouldn't say to anybody's face. I wouldn't say it to your face, but I'll say it behind your back. and I'll tell everybody else about it, and I'll reveal secrets and feel no shame in it. Because why? Why is there no shame in it? Because I'm separated off all by myself in my little corner with my little whatever it is that I'm putting it on. So, of course, there's no interaction. So, because there's no interaction, I don't have to feel guilty. This is all the world. What about the fashion world? The fashion world. We know how hard it is, don't we, as saints, to find decent clothes. It's very difficult sometimes. And particularly when every single year, just about when we've got it figured out how to fix whatever it is they have out there, they switch the fashion. First it's short, then it's long, then it's in between, then it's sleeveless, then it's short sleeve, then it's long sleeve, then it's big flowing bell sleeves, and then it's high neck, and then it's turtleneck, and then it's low neck, and every year it's got to be something different. And every year we fight the same things, don't we? Trying to figure out how to make it decent to wear. All because of money. I want you to notice everything up here costs you money. You are just being made, you are just merchandise to them. They want to sell you all the sports paraphernalia. They want to sell you all the videos. They want to sell you all the iTunes off the internet. Used to be you had to go into a store and actually buy a CD. But you know, when you went in and bought a CD, I mean, it was pretty big. So if it was something you really weren't supposed to have, your parents could find it easier. Now I got this little tiny box, and I can put those things on there. And not only can I put them on there, one of my grandchildren has something like 4,000 songs on there. Now, what mother has the time to go through 4,000 songs and decide which ones are good and which ones aren't? And you know they're not going to put the bad ones right up in the front where you can get them easy. They're probably under a certain category or something. The point being, we're being made merchandise. We're just merchandise. They're making money off of us. It's the worldly attitude, the way the world is made. We are of the kingdom of God. We're not of the world. We're not part of this system that wants to make merchandise of us all. We're not part of this. This fashion, this color's in and this color's out. And then what do we have? We have our children contend with, don't we? They want the newest color. Whatever the newest, you know. And we're trying to work with our children. Well, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it, Mom? Do you know that we're going to have to know what's wrong with it first? We have to know what's wrong with it first before we can tell them. All these things are a diversion to keep you occupied and spending your money. Let me put it different. Spending God's money. Spending God's money in the world. Keep your mind occupied. Keep your soul occupied. Keep it all foggy and nothing is clear. And the more that you indulge in the world, the less clear salvation seems to you. The less there's distinct lines drawn. The more you indulge in the world, the foggier everything gets. It's made as a diversion. It's made to where you will not know where the enemy's coming from. It's made to trick you and to cause you to fall. Oh, there's been many people started out, but the world tripped them up. The world. It's ideas. Oh, I just don't think you have to do all that. It's ideas. What else is out in the world? How about romance? Big, big seller. Everywhere. Trying to give people an unrealistic view of what life and real love is. It isn't about all the, so to speak, fuzzy warm feelings that you feel in the beginning of a relationship. That relationship matures from there. But people are still looking for the warm fuzzy feelings. They're still looking for all that initial excitement. So they're never satisfied with one. They have to keep moving on. Because now, I just don't love them anymore. That's what they think love is. And the media is promoting that thought. That is what love is. You shouldn't have to work hard at marriage. It should just flow easy and nice. And if it doesn't, then it's not for you. You married the wrong person. That isn't what God teaches us. But that's the world's viewpoint. All of these things up here, and we could spend all day. You could give me more and I could write. All of these things glorify man. In the kingdom of God, we spend our time glorifying Him. These all glorify God. These glorify, rather, the world. They glorify man. They even glorify the enemy of our soul. What about gaming? That's another two-thumb thing. Separate off. Can't even hardly find your grandchildren when you go to visit them because they're off in some room somewhere with a game. Stay up all night playing those games. What do you think that is? You can't hardly get them to stay awake during prayer. But they can stay up all night gaming. What's in there? Oh, I'm telling you, there are some evil, evil things in there. Evil things. And there are evil things hidden in there. And they're hidden from parents. I know because I discovered one once. I discovered one. And it was hidden. It was intentionally hidden. And that company got in trouble because they had marked it family friendly when really they had something sexual embedded inside deep in that game that depending on how good the child or the gamester was, they could find it. And that company got in trouble. They paid a big fine for how they labeled that game with that thing hidden in there. Gaming. Can't stop. I'm going to tell you something, young men. Usually it's not women that are too caught up in the gaming, but I suppose there probably are those too. If you can't wait to get off work to go and game, if you can't wait to, you know, you get up early in the morning to game before you have to do your chores. You know, you hide to game when your parents aren't looking because they said it's enough. You've done enough. You stay up late at night, way past your bedtime, so you can't even hardly get up in the morning because you're gaming. I want to ask you something. What do you think your wife is going to say when you get married? You think she's going to play second fiddle to a game? You don't think she's going to want any of your time? You are embedding in yourself the spirit of the world for this thing. And you're not going to be able to just walk away from it easily. Through God, you can. He can deliver you. But you're going to have to ask Him to deliver you. Not make excuses for it and say it's just a game. This is all the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Or the Father's love isn't in you. All right? Now, let me ask you this. Some people say, well, you can't really call these things sin. You ever been in that kind of a place where you go, you might not be able to call it sin? Well, let me ask you this. The scripture says to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what God tells us to do. All right. If my love goes out so strongly to something else that it hinders my walk with God, is it sin? Is it sin? Can it become sin to me? There's another scripture that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It says, love God with all your heart. And if my treasure is to play games, to watch movies, to listen to music, that's my treasure. That's what motivates me. That's what I keep close to me. That's my love and life. Then where is God? In your heart. If that's all in your heart, if that's your treasure, and it says whatever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If my heart is there, then where is my heart for God? So is it sin to us?
Yes.
The scripture says in Galatians, the 6th chapter, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, not only do I not find pleasure out there in those worldly pursuits anymore, that's the world crucified to me. But I'm crucified to the world. All the world looking on me says, you're so strange. You're not like us at all. You're not like us at all. All these things are made to sell. And they are marketed to the sinners of the world. Anything that the world goes after. Full force. No inhibitions. Goes after and loves and pursues. Anything like that, we have to, as saints, be careful of it. Because it was designed to attract the world. If it attracts us, then there's some of the world still alive in us. And we haven't been crucified to the world yet. I want to close with this scripture in John, the 17th chapter. Starting at the sixth verse. This is Jesus' prayer. This is Jesus' words. It's his prayer. For all the ones that would be behind him, for his disciples, and for all of us that would follow. This is the prayer he prayed for you and I today. This is his prayer. Intercessory to the Father before he left this earth. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Mine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received it, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Did you hear what I just said? I pray for them. I pray not for the world. But these are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father. In other words, they're living here in this world. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Let me ask you this. If Jesus were sitting here today, could we interest him in any of these things? Could we interest him at all? Could we get him to look at it? Could we tell him all about it and say, oh, this is really good. Look at this newest device we've got. Look. Would he be interested? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world. I'm speaking them here in the world. I'm getting ready to come. I'm not going to be here anymore to talk to them like I could here. I'm leaving them here in this horrible place. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world hath hated them. You think all these things are your friends? The world hates you. Because every one of these things, the enemy behind these things, these diversionary tactics, it's all to help you lose your soul. They hate you. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I'm not asking for that. But thou shouldest keep them from the evil here. Can we call these things evil? They can become evil to all of us, can't they? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is Jesus talking. He says, we're not of the world, just like he isn't of the world. We're not like them. We're not like the world. We don't love the same things they do. We don't do the same things they do. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, just like I was sent here, to be a savior for this world, to be a savior now to this world, just like you sent me, even so have I also sent them into the world to do what? Save souls. That's our job. About the king's business we heard about? That's our job. Not to see how close we can live to them, how much we can indulge in what they do. We're to lead them out of it. If we're still in it, how do we lead out? How do we lead out? Neither pray I for these alone. Neither I pray I for these alone. Here's where we come in. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's where we come in. Through this word being passed down through the ages of time. Here we are today. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How's the world going to believe that God has sent him? Us, I'm sorry, we're it. We're it. We're to prove to the world that God, that Jesus was here, that He forgives sins, that He changes lives, that He pulls us out of the world and makes us new creatures. We're the testimony here. Without us, what is He going to have? He left it here for us. The Holy Spirit works through man. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit can't blanket an area. But what is He doing? He's blanketing it to work through the men in it. Without men to work through, what has He got? And if we love the world more than we love God, and we love all the things in the world more than we care about His work, what has He got? All right. There's a time coming. That last great day. This is what happens on the last great day. You see that?